looking again at the doctrines of Romans chapter 8, and we've been seeing the whole issue of being led by the Spirit of God and being led by His Word and what all that entails, and being led by His Word alone and not a partial being led by God's Word, but we want to be led by what man thinks, the tradition of men. Even though he gets out the Bible, he's not teaching you rightly divided. He's not teaching you the designed way that God expects you to be taught. And if you want to liken this back, we can liken this to a situation of if you go to get your car worked on, the mechanic might know all the means of the car, or if he takes your engine apart, he might know all the instruments and things of a car. But if he doesn't know the way, the designed way to do it step by step, you're going to have a mess on your hands. It's not going to be replaced in the proper order so it can be functionally used. And that's where we look at our sanctification, our being educated, being ones in the classroom of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, working through us, whereas we can understand God's will and His designed way and how a son and daughter ought to be educated properly so they can be what God calls for them to be, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Because this, everything you're going to be doing from this point on, you're going to be doing this for the rest of your life, and you're going to grow. Each day you will grow in His Word. And when you think about it, we grow in this world. We grow when things advance to a new cell phone coming out, or if someone tells us about something happening in the world now, new songs, new shows, new whatever the situation could be, we advance and we learn and we adapt. And this is what we're being asked to do as a son, because we have that spirit of adoption, because we ought to want to cry, Abba, Father. This is just automatically some things that we ought to want after. Now, with that, let's turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. And this is going to be the gist of what we're going to be looking at here. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, last week, we looked at the issue here of verse 15. We looked at, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And we looked at it and shown that it was talking about the law. And the law is that spirit of bondage. It can place you under that spirit of bondage again to fear. To feel that, well, I'm not going to sin because if I sin, I'll go to hell. Or I'm not going to sin because, it's part of the law. And the law, me keeping the law, is me being holy. And that's not the way God designed for you to think concerning His law. Well, we know the law is holy, just, and good, but you trying to keep that, you're putting yourself to functional death. You ought to not want to kill or steal or whatever the facets of the law is. You should not want to do that because of who God has made you to be in Christ. Because out of the love of your Father and what He's done for you, why would you? And that would be a grace-motivated way of thinking. And again, and now we're on the issue of the second half of the verse. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we're looking at this here because what we're going to do is look at some issues with David and Solomon. We're going to look at how a father to son, how that teaching was done in a structural way, in a design. And again, the Proverbs is an interdispensational book. It speaks of the behavior of the man. It speaks of the wisdom of the man. It speaks of the wisdom of the woman. It speaks of the actual wisdom of God. And then it also talks about evil men. It talks about the strange woman, which is bad doctrine. Evil men is this world. And it talks about the enticements and things like that, that a son can be involved in where he won't get his education. So these things can be often used with us today. When we are looking at our design growth and how we are to be educated. And we're not, of course, we're not going to be educated off of some of the things that we're not going to be off educated off of the things that Israel was educated in, but we're going to be educated in the design way that it was done. And this is what's going on here. But before we turn to Proverbs and things like that, turn your Bibles to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. And let's take a look at a couple of things there. Galatians 4, let's come to verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Son, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now you see the word here being used, terminology being used here, God has sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. And over in chapter 8, we've seen that we have received the Spirit of adoption. And Paul uses, in right here in verse 5, he says that we might receive adoption of sons. Okay? Now, when you're looking at that, I'm likening the two together because they're saying the same thing. But what Paul is doing differently here in Galatians, he's explaining more to you about the adoption method, about the means of how of the adoption process took place under Israel's program, and also to see that you're not a servant anymore. It's a growing up process. It's one that one wants to be, whereas they are now ready to handle the adoption, handle what the Father has instilled for him to be. And what Paul is saying here, he's saying that in verses 4 and 5, that God didn't just die for you, Christ didn't just die for you so you wouldn't go to hell. That's not the way God designed it. He designed it so as you can receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now that Spirit of adoption and the Spirit of his Son, what all that entails, the Spirit of adoption, is when today's standards, if you adopt a child today, okay, you get a certificate of adoption. You get that's what you've received, and it's something that shows the actual title on the person, if that's what you want to use, your owner, the idea that you are legal. It's the legal way that you are now the actual parent and guardian. And this is what's being said here with when it says we have received the Spirit of adoption over in Romans chapter 8. And again, when you're looking over here in verse 5, it says that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. And it's showing that because you are likened to Jesus himself, and we've seen that over there in Romans chapter 6, that we have, because we are baptized with him, we have obtained what he has. We have his, what he has received. And because he is a son, we are sons. We ought to receive the privilege that God has set forth so we can be that adult son that want to work with our father in his business. And see, the proper response of a son would be that he could not wait to be treated like a child anymore. And he couldn't wait to take the training wheels off of his life. He couldn't wait to make decisions on his own. He'll get to that point where he can finally have a say. He can finally be like he sees his mother and father making decisions. And that's like we see today. You see little kids, you know, when they get to stage about 8, 9, 10, you know, they start to say, I know. You know, they feel they know everything now because they can't wait to start to make those decisions. They want to be the one to say, well, you ask your child, why would you do that? Well, I feel that I want it. They'll start to do things now when they get to that age between 8 and 10 where they feel they want to do things on their own, where they don't want to be coddled all the time, whether it's you taking them for their first day of school or they don't want the idea of being treated like a child all the time. They want to do things on their own. And see, this is what you have to understand, that we ought to want to be ones who want to make decisions on our own, not to say things like, well, you know, I'm going to put it in God's hands, or I'm going to pray about it, or I'm going to or pray for me, you know, when it comes to decision making. You know, Paul never asked of those things. When Paul talked about once praying for the saints, it was done in a sense for strengthening the inner man. It was done in a sense for inner man purposes only. And the things that we do, the decision-making that we make, we're supposed to make, are things that we're supposed to be educated in. And, you know, another thing, it's like when you're an adult son, he's is supposed to know about all of his father's business. He's supposed to know that, whereas if the father steps out, the son, he can fill in. And everything would fill in. It'll be just as business as usual. If the father steps out, the son should be able to take on the whole of his affairs. Now, this is an adult son. And also, the son, he should know the whole operation. He should know how to make the proper decisions in any situation. And most importantly, he ought to be able to know his competitors. He ought to be able to know who the one is that's standing in the way of the father getting his business to be the best business out there, whatever he's doing. And he ought to know how to he should know the tactics of his competitors, the strategy of his competitors. He ought to know how to stay ahead of the competition. He also ought to know how to not run the business in the ground. And this is all likening to our sonship education, where we need to know who the enemy is. We need to know the enemy's tactics, the enemy's strategies, what the enemy is trying to do to bring our sonship education into ruins. And we also need to know how we can run our father's business to make it excel. Not just be just as good as the competition, but to excel, to be what our father wants us to be, and to meet his objectives and his goals. That's how we ought to be thinking when it comes to getting our education and wanting to cry Abba Father, as what's being said here in Galatians. And this is what it ought to be about. When you look at verse 6, a lot of people miss what's being said here. Verse 6, when it says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father." When you look at think about the heart of the man, it goes, when I say man, I mean mankind, it's the most sensitive part to mankind. It's the part that actually, it's pretty much the gas tank, so to speak. Because, you know, with the mind, you look upon that and say, okay, well, that's the engine right there. That's the driving factor. But with the heart, it uses, it can, when it's touched a certain way, it can either excel to the highest point or it can just fall into a lowest point of even depression. And when you look at that, you look at something where when it says God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Father, because it ought to be a emotionally tied thing. It ought to be something based upon love, based upon the likes of the Father, what he likes. You wanting to understand, you wanting to crying to understand, crying to appreciate, crying to value the things that he loves, appreciates, and this is what we ought to do, and we also ought to have in our hearts what he is not impressed with, what he doesn't like, what he doesn't value, what he looks upon as a waste of time. And this is what we ought to look at when you look at that heart issue. And with that, let's come to Samuel. Let's go back to Samuel. Let's look at 1 Samuel. And we're going to look at this issue about the heart and how that affects the decision-making of a man and how it can actually have a bearing upon mankind's willingness to want to be educated, to want to cry out the Father. Now, 1 Samuel, let's look at chapter 13. When you're looking at this, you're going to see this actually all has a bearing upon what God is trying to accomplish with sons and daughters. Let's look at 1 Samuel 13. Let's look at verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And again, when we're looking at these things here, again, when we rightly divide the word of truth, we know this is speaking to Israel. But what we're after here is we're looking at how a father to a son, we're looking at Solomon, David and Solomon, and how a father to a son, he was being exhorted. God was using exhortation. And then David using exhortation to teach a son to lead and be, as it said here, to be captain over his people. But again, when you're looking at the verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. That's what it would be foolish to not keep the commandment of the Lord thy God. And that's not just Samuel's view to Saul here. That's not only just his view, that's also the Father's view. You know, when Paul called the Galatians, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, God looks upon that as being a fool to not get his education, but to go after this world's education. Now with that, let's go to Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to see some things connected with that there. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. But what I was after in the, I think I turned here too quick, what I was after in 1 Samuel was the heart issue there. When it said, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the whole issue, the Lord it's not just the issue of David's a man after God's own heart, that he's just crying after God's own heart. You know, he wants to get the education. Well, I'm not trying to devalue that, but what I'm after here is the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. It's the Lord seeking ones to have his heart, just as we want for our children. We want our children to love what we love, despise what we despise. We wouldn't want them to be, if there's certain people that we value and esteem, or certain things that we value and esteem that we know are wise, we want them to go after the same things, because if they don't, it would be looked upon as being foolish. If you're dealing with a certain neighbor who you know has been there for you, and you know that this person is upright, upstanding, makes good choices and things of that nature, and you hold this person in good esteem, but your child despises this person, you look upon them as being foolish, making a foolish decision there. Now, again, that's being David, a man after his own heart, but not just being a man after his own heart, but God expected. He expected to have Saul not to seem that way. And this is what we ought to be, because the Lord, he seeks for us to be after his own, a man and a daughter, a son and a daughter after his own heart. And again, Proverbs chapter 1, and we're looking at the issues here of how a father is teaching a son here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And again, this is talking to Israel, but if we're just looking at the correlation of father to son educating, and how a father ought to educate the son, and how a son ought to want to be educated by a father. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to give understanding a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now you see here verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, when you look at that, of course, you would say, but fools despise wisdom and instruction of their father, because that's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of knowledge when you look at it, when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, when you're going back to verse 2 there, again, this is the beginning of what we should be, what a son ought to be impressed with, what the father is impressed with, and what the son ought to be less impressed with, what the father is less impressed with. And you see when it says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding. And you notice it says, first thing you see it says to know, then it says to perceive, then it says to perceive, then you look and it says to give something now, to give subtlety to the simple, to the wise man, to the young man knowledge, and so on and so on. But the first thing you do is, you begin to know wisdom and instruction. And that's what we do. You're looking at the book of Romans, how it's structured there, how it's designed. It's designed to, you first get the wisdom. You get the instruction of wisdom. You get the wisdom and you get your instruction there. Now, once you get it, you know, a lot of people can go to school. They can go to school and you know, like they say, you could take a person and take them to wisdom, but they won't have, you know, the knowledge or the actual thinking behind it. And you can take someone, again, you can have the wisdom and instruction. But when you go to the next part of the verse, it says to perceive the words of understanding. Now, again, when we look at Romans chapter 6, 7, 8, that's the beginning teaching of how a saint ought to be educated in their sanctification. And we have the wisdom and instruction in our Bibles. But when you perceive the words of understanding, when you perceive something, it's more than just getting it or knowing it. Perceiving it is you actually doing something to add onto this what you know. You're actually taking your time to hone in on it or set your sights on it to want to perceive it, to get a perception of it. And that's when you can get that perception of the words of understanding. Because once you do that, then you will have that understanding. Look at verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. When you're looking at the wisdom, again, the wisdom is having the knowledge, but having wisdom in it, being able to understand, to be able to take something and say, okay, now I know the objective here. Now, once you have that objective in these words of understanding, now you can turn to use justice. Using justice in something is using what's right, making the perceiving which way you give you, for instance, okay? Like we looked at the verse 7 when it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, this whole world is getting wisdom and instruction. This whole world is getting wisdom and instruction. But you have to know which way is right. Like Paul tells us to be led of the Spirit, to know what God is actually doing today, to know his will, to know the right path to take. That's the justice part of it. The judgment part is knowing now how to make the proper decisions, how to make the proper decision-making in all that you're doing, to be able to, as Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, is there not a man among you that can, you know, judge this matter? Don't you know we'll be judging angels? And they couldn't judge the matter properly because there was no justice. There was no justice among them. And when you're looking at equity, equity is doing something in a way where it's not only just perfect judgment, it's doing what Philemon did, doing what Paul talked about Philemon doing, whereas not only is he just making proper judgments the way the Father would, but he's seeking to do something where it excels over the prior judgment that he made. He's looking to do something in godly love, agape love, where it excels and keep excelling. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, subtlety to the simple is, we know that's a word that was used to use of Satan, how the serpent beguiled Eve through a subtlety. But subtlety, the word subtlety, is used not just to be a cunning way of in deception. It's also a crafty and a wise way to give it to the simple, to the simple man, to the simple son, so they can get the proper knowledge in the proper way, in that wise choice of giving them their education. Because if you start off by giving a turkey leg, you know, giving them baby food, something they can ingest, that's not very wise. You want to be able to use a strategic a way of giving them the proper education, the proper in things that they can ingest. And that's what it means to give subtlety to the simple. Give them the wisdom where they can be able to ingest it properly. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, the young man, he's not just a simple son anymore. He's a young man. He can handle knowledge and use some discretion. He can handle the knowledge and he can have and discretion. And this is something he's able to ingest that. That's what you're looking at when you're dealing with Ephesians through Colossian doctrine. Ephesians through Colossian doctrine, all you see, well, that's not all you see, but you see a constant talking about educating, about getting more knowledge, about knowing the breadth, the height, the depth, the length of the love of God. And over in Ephesians 4, about the idea of being not tossed to and fro. We want to be brought up into the perfect measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. When you look at Colossians, it talks about understanding, being under the full assurance and acknowledgement and understanding of knowledge and wisdom, because that man could be able to handle more. When you're looking at a wise man, so the wise man will hear and will increase learning. Now, a wise man, you're looking at Thessalonian doctrine. You're looking at the Thessalonian doctrine where these saints were not only, as Paul says, they were an example and an example to the world, to other saints. They were allowing God's word to effectually work within them. They were allowing themselves to be ones to abound more and more. Where they were dealing with equity, judgment and equity, they were ones who heard. It says, we'll hear. They heard. And it says, and then also you look at the second half of that, it says, it will hear and increase learning. Now, that's not saying increase in learning. That says they will increase learning. There's a difference between and will increase in learning and increase learning. And what they're doing is, what's being talked about here is, when you increase in learning, you might go from, you might go from pre-algebra to algebra to, you keep going on to the geometries and everything else for the trig, all that other stuff. But that's increasing in learning. But when you increase learning, you become that example. You increase learning of others. You increase others. You can be that example. And when you look at, give you an example, looking at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, you look at what is being said about how a man of understanding, how he's going to be an example, how a woman, how she's going to be an example to the younger women, how she's going to teach them to guide others. Now they're that example, a man of understanding. Now when you get to a man of understanding here, shall attain unto wise counsels. That man of understanding is what you deal with, what you see when you see Timothy and Titus. Timothy and Titus are ones who taught other people to be ones, to be ones that are examples unto others. And that's what Paul was explaining to Titus. He was explaining to Titus to teach the aged women or the aged men to teach. So now you have a man of understanding. He's going out now, and he's understanding the Father's will. He's not only is he understanding the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, he's able to teach it now. He's able to teach it as a father to a son and daughter. Being a man of understanding. And that's what we see when we're looking at these. And what it is these are exhortations. These are exhortations that the son and daughter would have to have in being ones that are growing up into him, being edified up into him in all wisdom, in all doctrine, in all knowledge, using God's word for, as he said, doctrine, reproof, correction, exhortation. That's the way it's designed to work. Now, while we're here in the Proverbs, let's come over to chapter two in Proverbs here. And let's look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. And notice, if thou wilt receive my words. Now you would think, why wouldn't a son want to receive the words of his father? And it said, and hide my commandments with thee. In other words, he's saying, and hide my commandments with thee. He's not saying don't let no one else know about it. Keep it hidden within you. No, he's talking about you take something and you store it away. You know, you take it and you put it in you and keep it there. Keep it hidden in there. Not so you won't know what it is, but it's so you can keep it as a purchased possession. Why he says, with thee, hide it with thee. Not just hide it in thee, but hide it with thee. Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And verse 2 here, he's saying, incline thine ear unto wisdom. When you incline your ear unto wisdom, that's you taking your ear and you leaning in to listen more. You're leaning in, you're taking your ear and you're actually trying to get closer so you can hear what's being said. It's you tunneling your ear, your vision, your hearing to what's being said here, what's being unto that wisdom. And apply thine heart to understanding. Now there's the heart issue again. He's saying apply thine heart to understanding, because we can apply our heart to anything. We can apply our heart to want our own gain. But he's saying apply it to understanding, meaning let your heart, the tables, fleshy tables of your heart, let that be inclined to wanting to get understanding, just like Solomon wanted. Solomon wanted the wisdom, but his heart was applied unto that understanding, wanting to get that understanding. 3, yea, if thou wilt criest after knowledge and liftest up thine voice for understanding. And he's saying here, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, that's what, when he talks about crying, Abba Father, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, when the Lord and Savior, when he cried, Abba Father, he wasn't crying after knowledge. But when you cry after something, you're crying after, you're making a plea, not just a plea, but you're doing it in a way where you're crying, you're making your plea in a crying manner. because it touched your heart so much that this is what you're wanting. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Not just crying, but this is what we're beseeched to do. Crying after knowledge and lifting up thy voice for understanding. And this is the goal. This is the way that the father is telling the son how to cry after it. Because you can cry after something and lift up your voice for something, but you need to do it in a way where look at it as being valuable. Look at it in a way where it really, really means something to you. Not just that, yeah, I wouldn't mind having it. Sure, I wouldn't mind doing this. But it's talking about the zeal, how you are to be zealous of this and how zealous you should be. And look at verse 4. He's going to say, actually, on down, he's going to explain how zealous you are to be with knowledge and understanding. Verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver, just for hid treasures. Now a son, when he sees that, should say, wait a minute, I should value this education like that? Because, yeah, I know how it would be to seek after something like silver and search for it as hid treasures. I'd be really zealous if I'm looking for a hidden treasure in silver like that. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, look for it as if it's as hidden treasures, something that you value more than life yourself, something that you'd risk your life to get. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. This is what you're seeing here. You're seeing something that we ought to be zealous about this. Now come down to verse 8 here. He keepeth the path of the judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Now, you notice what he's saying here? He's saying that once you do this, once you know how to incline your ear and apply your heart and cry after knowledge and lift your voice to understanding, once you learn to do that because now you have a zeal, you seek it like hidden treasures, then thou shalt understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, every good path. And those are the same things that was talked about over there in chapter 1. That was just the son being able to how to get this is being talked about over here in chapter 2. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into the heart, into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. And that's the way it ought to be. When wisdom enters into your heart, entering into there because you're applying your heart to understanding now. So sure, it's entering into there. And when it does, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. It pleases you, not just God the Father, but it pleases you also to get that knowledge. It pleases your soul. It's pleasant unto you. Verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Now, you remember when we were looking over in chapter 1? When we were looking at chapter 1, when it talks about that discretion, verse 4, when it says to give subtlety to simple young man knowledge and discretion. Then first he was just getting this stuff over here in chapter 1. Now, verse 11, it says, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Because now he's using that judgment. He has what he's able to understand, righteousness, judgment, equity, every good path. He's able to use proper discretion, under his understanding of what his father has taught him, shall keep him. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from speaking from the things. Now, of course, that evil man is the world, and the way the world would have you to understand things, the way the world would have you to follow their path, make their judgments, do things the way you see them doing things. And this is what we see here when we look at what's being said in these proverbs here about a father to a son, a father to the son wanting his son to get his education and not this world's education, allowing his father to teach him where his son can be one to incline his ear and apply his heart to his father's education. And you know how some will say there's always one bad apple in the bunch, or one black sheep of the family and things. But when you have a large group, or you can even have two children, you can have one that's going after your wisdom and instruction. You could have one that's going after this world's wisdom and instruction. And 9 out of 10 times, there's not really anything that you're doing where they are going after this world. It's just the son or daughter themselves is applying, they want to apply their, incline their ear onto this world, understanding, and apply their heart to this world's understanding and ear unto their wisdom. And you notice with David, you know, or with Saul, the kids that he had there. You know, and David was one that he wanted to be one. He was one that differed from the others. It wasn't just that he was the bad apple, but he was the one that stood out from the others. He wanted to be a man after God's own heart. And Solomon wanted to have the knowledge, the thinking, the wisdom, is what he cried after. Now, if you will, can turn your Bibles back to Romans chapter 8. Let's come back to Romans chapter 8. We'll look at a couple of matters here. Romans chapter 8. And let's take a look at the issue here as we're looking at that spirit of adoption. I want to make sure we have that clear at Romans chapter 8. Let's look at that, verse 18. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And again, when you're looking at whereby we cry, Abba, Father, you can get a better understanding now that we looked at the Proverbs about the crying Abba, Father, and what all that entails. Now, looking at this issue with the spirit of adoption, I touched on it a little bit at the outset when we looked at Galatians and how we apply that to the issue there also, about that spirit of adoption there. But what I want to do is go back to, while we're in Romans 8 here, let's go back to verse 1. Romans 8, let's look at verse 1 here. Got to get there myself. Okay, Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, when you look, we looked at the Spirit there, and we're looking at what the objective of the Spirit is here, and actually the objective of God, who says who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those are the ones which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And what we're after, I'm looking at the Spirit here, what it means by the Spirit of adoption. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, walk after the Spirit. Those, we are the ones who can fulfill the righteousness of the law. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And you can look at the end of the verse and just say, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. And that's the way it's set. That's the way it's set. Because the Spirit is the driving force, which is God's Word. And if we are minding, not just after the Spirit, but we have to mind the things. We have to make these things resident in our minds. We have to not only just walk after, and when you're looking at the walking after, that's what we just seen over in Proverbs when it says to know wisdom and instruction. You can know it, but to actually be mindful of it, to actually have it resident within you. Verse 6, carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now let's come down to verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now when you see in the first part of that verse, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, when you're in the Spirit, this is now something that you're doing, whereas as we look at Proverbs chapter 2, when it says, then shalt thou understand knowledge and wisdom and all those things and judgment and equity. Now you are in the Spirit. It says, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. It dwells in you because you're allowing it to dwell in you. It's something that you want to cry after. Why are you crying after it? Because you're seeking it. You're seeking it. It means something to you. You place it on the fleshy tables of your heart now. It's something that you want to have dwell, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Verse 11, but the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, and you notice what he says here? He's explaining something here to you that he just gave you an example of the Spirit and the working of it and the working of it in you. Then he goes and tells you, therefore, brethren. Then he comes along and says, for, then verse 14, for, then verse 15, for. He's telling you everything that from chapter 8, verse 1 all the way here to 11, he's giving you the workings of it. And now he knows you should understand something when he gets to verse 12. That's why he says, therefore. In other words, you should have an understanding. I told you what I just told you. I've given you the wisdom in this. Now, in the knowledge, now you should have that understanding. So he tells them, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. And, of course, it doesn't say spirit, but you might as well throw the Spirit in there because it says we are debtors, not to the flesh. You can throw, but we are to the Spirit. And it says not to live after the flesh. But also he says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So you being a debtor to the Spirit now and not to the flesh, if you're a debtor to something, you're like, I owe it. I owe all I have to it. Isn't that similar to seeking her like silver and hidden treasures? having that zeal, being a debtor to something, you're indebted. Like you had those ones that in the book, we look in the book of Acts, when they set a vow that they wouldn't eat or drink till they killed Paul. They took out, it was a vow. They were indebted to that. And then Paul says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that spirit of adoption is that legal binding father to son heirship, that you are an heir, and you are, because you are a son, like Galatians chapter 4 talks about, and because you are a son, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Meaning, you ought to be that good son or daughter. You ought to be the one like David. You ought to be not the bad apple, or the ones that despised wisdom and instruction, the fools. You don't want to be that one. But you want to be one who's crying after the Father and getting your education. And with that, I'm going to stop. And next week, we're going to look at the issue here of the crying Abba Father. And I know we looked at it here, but there's going to be more revealed in next week's study about the actual father to son, father to daughter, zealousness, how we are to be driven to be ones that will cry Abba Father, and what the Father's goal and viewpoint is, and also how he places importance on us getting that. Like we looked at the 1 Samuel 13, when it talks about the God hath sought to find, to have a man after his own heart, and how he looked upon his son Jesus, and he looked upon him and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. We ought to be mindful of our father's zeal for us to get our education, just as we are at getting our own. And we can first be zealous on his, well, we can be knowledgeable and understand and appreciate his zealousness for us wanting to be educated onto him. Then we can understand, then we can perceive how we should want to get our own education. Because if it means that much to him and it's that important to him, it ought to mean the same, have the same meaning and the same importance onto us also. Well, with that, I'm going to close. I'm going to open things up for a Q&A session. *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. And again, next week we're going to go into the end of that verse there, verse 15, about the whereby we cry, Abba Father. And looking at the issue of the spirit of adoption and that word whereby we cry. In other words, that's the method that you'd want to cry Abba Father of. It's not just saying, but we have received the spirit of adoption and we cry Abba Father. No, it's saying whereby we cry Abba Father. The whereby is because you have received the spirit of adoption. And this is what we're going to be looking at next week. And then we'll do a little introduction into verse 16, the issue of the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit and what that means. So let me go to first caller here. Sister Janice, you're in the queue.
How you doing, Pastor Ron Jones? How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing there, Sister Janice? How you been?
Oh, great. Yourself? Yeah.
Very
well. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Edifying through your whole lesson was extremely edifying, and especially at the end where it's in what's that, Romans chapter 8, about all the S's. Well, all the S's, that's God's spirit with the capital S.
Yeah, capital S, that's the spirit of God, yeah.
Right, and how God will want us to, you know, be grown up adults and sons in his Father. How God want us to be adults, sons and daughters, and all on that, and read there in Romans chapter 8 and plus 8:14 with this big S, is that's God's spirit. And if you not have God's spirit, he does not dwell in you. So all the capital S is always down there. It's dealing with God, not our spirit.
That's right. That capital S, you're dealing with the spirit of God. And then when you see other words, you see sometimes when it says the spirit, small S, that's talking about our spirit or the spirit of man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like you see in verse 16 when it says the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, small S.
Small
that we are the children of God. Yeah, and when you look at the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, the spirit is the word of God. And you take that word of God and you compare it with your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, and that's how it's done. What you have resonated within you versus what God has for you to actually put in that small spirit, small S spirit.
Right. And you know, so in Proverbs, that's Israel program, but you can compare Proverbs with Romans, you know, and compare them together, and that's why I said it shifted in Proverbs how it wasn't dealing with Solomon, how he had the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding and that.
Mm. You know? Right. Yep, that's right. You know, how he was beseeched or exhorted to get the knowledge of his father and not despise it, and to be shown that only a fool would despise wisdom and instruction of his father.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Excellent edifying teaching on that, and I'm sure I'm learning through this growing up adult ministry and I appreciate your teaching.
Well, I thank you, and I appreciate you and your comments. I really do. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Right, God bless.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right, with that, we're going to get ready to close, but I want to announce coming up in September, well, we're already in September here, but coming up September 17th, there's going to be a conference in Chicago. And the conference in Chicago is going to be at the Bishop's, Bishop Michael McDaniel, his area there. It's going to be one he's hosting himself. And I'm going to be on at the conference there. Also, Pastor Trent Cole is going to be there. And I didn't get information of who else is going to attend, but I'm pretty sure I'll have that information for you next week, which is cutting it pretty close. But he had to change a couple things around because someone else also made a conference the same day. So he had to change things around a little bit. So because Pastor R. Johnson, I believe, made it the same day that Bishop made his. So they had to, you know, just do some switching around. So with that, I'll keep you up to date on that. That's coming up. That's going to be called the Keys to Unlocking the Scripture Conference. Okay. Well, with that, I'm going to close and give you more information on that next week.